The story of training elephants is a very interesting story in this regard because it reveals how during developmental phases, the perceptions and beliefs acquired by an organism ultimately become programmed and then affect that organism later in its life. This is not any different than the story of a human. So when we talk about the mind and controlling biology, then I have to bring up at this point the fact that there are two parts to the mind. There's the conscious mind, which is the one we think with our executive reasoning, our logic mind. The conscious mind is the one that has our desires, our wishes, our aspirations in that mind. In contrast, there's the other mind called the subconscious mind. And they're two separate entities, in fact. The subconscious mind is actually more like a recording device. It records programs and then at the push of a button plays those programs back again and will always play them back in exactly the same way. So the concept of a subconscious mind is programs that once recorded will always play exactly the same over and over and over again. In contrast, the conscious mind has a creative character to it. So at any time, the conscious mind can say, well, I'd like to do it this way all of a sudden and totally do it differently. But it turns out they're not equal value minds. That it turns out that the conscious mind is actually a small part of the physical brain that's related to what is called the prefrontal cortex. It's a very small part of the brain. And that the subconscious mind is essentially the rest of the entire structure of the brain. In addition, the subconscious mind has been demonstrated to be over a million times more powerful an information processor than the conscious mind. And then lastly, the conscious mind, the one that we really think we're running our lives with, it is now revealed that that mind only operates at about 5% of the day or less, meaning that from 95 to 99% of the day, we're not operating with our creative mind. We're operating with our subconscious programmable mind. Well, these programs are put in early into the system. And like that elephant, the programs start off during the youngest stage of development. And in fact, the new insights reveal that even in the last stages of fetal development, that the programming of that mind is already occurring in utero, and that the responses of the mother to the environment are translated by the fetus into programs that are stored into the subconscious mind. Well, the significance of the subconscious mind programming is this. Let's take a little story, for example. You know, like Oprah would put something like, hey, look under your seat and here's an envelope and there's a new Pontiac for you. Well, let's pretend we're doing an Oprah thing here. And I say, look under your seat, there's a new iPod for everybody in the room. And you open up the iPod and I say, okay, you just got this new iPod. You take it out of the box and I say, push play. And you push play and nothing happens. And the issue is, yeah, well, nothing can happen because there are no programs in it. Well, the parallel that I'm trying to relate to in human development is this. We have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. If a child's just born and I say, okay, play that conscious mind, think something, the child has nothing to think about. Why? Because there's no programs to be conscious of. So it's interesting, just like the iPod, you have to put programs in it before you can use it. A child's mind has to have programs in it before consciousness could start to make use of those programs. Well, interesting, in development, the actual neurological processing that leads to consciousness doesn't really manifest itself as a full-time process until after 5 or 6 years of age, meaning a child is not really operating from their conscious mind until after 5. And the reason why this is important is the first 5 or so years of a child's development is to install programs that later the conscious mind can use. So it's interesting because the brain state of a child between in utero development and the first 5 years is primarily in low EEG activities like theta or alpha. Well, theta and alpha EEG activity are activities associated with what is called a hypnagogic trance. So in truth, a child for the first 5 or 6 years of its life is downloading information as if it was in a trance. So whatever it hears, whatever it sees, whatever it experiences of the world, those are programs that are directly downloaded in the subconscious. Well, the relevance about this, of course, is that there's no conscious discrimination of these programs. So whatever got programmed just got programmed as truth. So that in our developmental period where we're learning how to become part of a family and how to become part of a community and become part of a world, the programs that we got, the experiences that we downloaded from our parents, our siblings, our community, were downloaded as facts, as truth. and become the programs in the subconscious mind. And what's then important is to recognize is that the subconscious mind in later life is the one that operates 95% of the time or more and is a million times more powerful than the conscious mind. And here's the big issue. Yes, the conscious mind has what we want out of life, our desires, our aspirations, what we believe. But the subconscious mind has programs that we got from other people. So we bought other people's beliefs, and then they become the programs that run us 95% or more of the time. Well, the issue is, like the elephant programming, how many of the beliefs did we get in that time period undermine our power, limit us, or sabotage our abilities? And so many times we hear this, and I mean, it hurts me so much to go into like a store and see parents yelling at a child, "Oh, Billy, you don't deserve that," and getting upset with them because the child's throwing a tantrum. Or hearing parents say to a child, "You're not smart enough, you're not good enough, who do you think you are?" And in fact, in Australia and New Zealand, they refer to this kind of program as called cutting the tall poppy. And what they represent by this is that when you plant poppies, they all grow up to about the same height. But every now and then, one poppy shoots up higher than all the other poppies. And then when they mean cutting the tall poppy, is any poppy that holds its head higher than all the rest, that poppy gets its head lopped off. And so what they're referring to is when children start to show benefits or attributes of their mind that seem to exceed that of the average person, there's a tendency to lop their head off, cutting the tall poppy, to say, "You're just average." Well, the point is, these become the beliefs that we're programmed with. And if we are programmed with limitations, just as the elephant is programmed, then as we get older, we can be limited by putting a rope around our leg, saying, "Oh, no, you can't do that because that rope is on your leg." And it only turns out it was a belief and not real. And why this then ultimately becomes important is this. Yes, many of the people, including myself, and Steve, you and I talked about this in our own lives. Yes, we have a great conscious desire to change the world, evolve, live into what our potential fully can be. And yet, how come if you go out and take a consensus of the population, you can find maybe 90% of the people want what we want? They want to have a healthy, happy, wonderful kind of life. Then how come, if that many people want it, how come we don't have it? And the answer is because those are the beliefs and attitudes and perceptions of the conscious mind. And yet, as we just talked about in biology, the whole foundation is 95% of our lives come from the programs that are in the subconscious mind. So while many of us are out there saying, "Yeah, let's evolve, let's move forward," that's our conscious desire. And yet what we don't see is that the subconscious beliefs undermine us. Now, for many, this is a hard thing to accept. What do you mean I don't see beliefs that would sabotage me? Well, in my lectures, I give this story, and most people are quite familiar with it, so I think I should relay it here. And that is, let's say you know someone, and you know your friend's parent, and you recognize that your friend shares the same behaviors as their parent. So one day you just volunteer and you go, "You know, Mary, you're just like your mom." Of course, back away from Mary at this moment, because she'll probably go ballistic. "How can you say I'm like my mom?" You know, it's like, and just say that, deny every part of this. Well, most people are very familiar with this, and it's kind of funny in one sense, but it's profound in another sense. And here's what's profound. Everyone else can see that Mary is behaving like her mom. Only Mary is the one who doesn't see that. And why is that relevant? Because she got her program of her behavior from her mom during that download period during the first 5 years of her life. She plays it through her unconscious mind, which by the nature says unconscious. You play these programs, you're unaware of these programs. So the issues are, if we have limiting or sabotaging programs in our unconscious mind, we usually play them and are unaware that we're sabotaging ourselves, and then look out at the world and say, "My goodness, I wanted to have a wonderful relationship. I wanted to be wealthy. I wanted it to be healthy. These were my conscious desires. And look, this isn't happening in my life." And then we have a tendency to blame the universe and say, "Well, this is what I wanted and I didn't get this. So the universe must be shorting me." And yet what the new biology reveals is that the universe never did that. We sabotaged ourselves with our own unconscious beliefs. And why this becomes relevant for both you and I, Steve, as well as our audience, is the story of spontaneous evolution that we're talking about is a participation story, that we have to be conscious participants in this evolution. And yet, we then have to recognize, but we already have been programmed with beliefs in our subconscious that limit our abilities. Who do we think we are, for example? Well, these are the kinds of things that we must address. So as we go into our story and talk about spontaneous evolution, not only will we provide the information, which is the new insight and the new awareness that will get us there, but we must re-emphasize again and again that to be participants in this process, we must do something ourselves, and that is go back into our own programming and start to reprogram those limiting beliefs that actually suggest that we're ineffective, frail individuals, and who do we think we are, to recognize, no, we're very powerful people, and if we exercise that power, through that exercise, we will create and manifest this new evolution that will bring us a future that I can't contain right now. It's so exciting.